Now we welcome into the show the play-by-play voice of FC Dallas. RSL takes on FC Dallas this weekend out down at Toyota Stadium, and we hear from Steve Davis now. Steve, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right, man. You guys could have to start calling a little earlier. It's a little past cocktail hour around here, so you never know what you're going to get now.
Why we call you at this hour. We never know what we're going to get.
I was going to say, even if we had a noon show, we'd have to worry about that with you, Steve-O.
Come on now. Come on.
How's life there in Lower Greenville or wherever you're at?
Yeah, not far from there. No, it's good. It's good here. Life is always good. They still pay me to write and talk about soccer, so it's no complaints here.
How hot and humid is it going to be Saturday night at Toyota?
You know, this time last week we got a little preview of fall, very rare for around here, but had to put a wee little sweater on around here, and it'll be, you know, usual August. High 90s, you know, something like that. I don't think it's going to be one of the crazy hot, like 104 days, but it'll be regular late August, high 90s. So bring your short sleeve shirts, boys.
Is it going to feel like 104 to us?
I don't know. I've been there when it's a little warm, and it gets hot in your mountains up there. It just kind of cools off more at night. Whereas, you know, when they kick off at 8 o'clock locally, it's still going to be pretty warm here.
Dallas has had an interesting stretch, to say the least. Started off the year so strong, and now lost three in a row, 2-0 at Chicago, 2-1 at home against LA, 1-0 at Vancouver. What do you make of this Dallas team, and what have you learned from them in the last three games?
Well, I think like quite a few teams around Major League Soccer, you know, look, this isn't the Galaxy or Seattle, and you know, you guys know a lot about this. These teams that don't spend, they just have a lesser margin for error, don't they? You know, the Galaxy can go out and play, you know, an okay game. And that's what they did, by the way, a couple of weeks ago here. Leonardo was pretty good in the back. Robbie Rogers, I thought, was pretty good that day. But they didn't really do a whole lot. Dallas makes a couple because they've got some, you know, kind of a makeshift back line. They've got some younger players. They make a couple of mistakes, and the Galaxy has the talent to punish those mistakes. Leave Robbie Keane open, right in front of goal, header, goal. You know, they get caught on the break. Keane, again, runs a break to precision. Dos Santos gets on the end of it, kind of. Then there's a little bit of a, you know, collision with Dan Kennedy. The ball pops around, goal. And they punish you. If you have that kind of talent, you don't have to be perfect. Well, teams like Dallas and probably to a certain extent Real Salt Lake, some other teams, man, if things aren't really just so on a certain day, you got a couple of injuries or you got a couple of guys who are out of form, you go from being a good team to an average team real quick. And that's what's happened with Dallas. Fabian Castillo right now, he's just not as good as he was, say a month ago. Mauro Diaz is absent right now. And you take that out and all of a sudden Dallas becomes an average team, and an average team is going to get beat by the Galaxy and going to get beat on the road at Vancouver.
So the RSL team that's rolling into Dallas this week's a little different than I think what the first – how many months are we into the MLS season right now? Six, eight,
14.
Something like that. But, you know, you've got Raimondo and Beckerman back. You've got Olave back. You've got Plata in. You've got Luis Silva, who's actually been playing really, really well the last couple weeks after getting kind of integrated into the system. And then now you've got the club's new Argentine forward from Boca Juniors, Juan Manuel Martinez, nicknamed El Burrito because of his likeness in playing style with Ariel Ortega, who you remember very well, Steve. So, I mean, is there enough runway here for RSL with eight games left and 3 points out of the sixth spot where you're fighting with San Jose, who you play head-to-head, fighting with Houston, who you play head-to-head, and fighting with Dallas, who you play head-to-head twice after just having beaten Seattle? Is there enough runway for this team, Jeff Kassar's team, to make a scary run there?
Yeah, so, Trey, you've been around Major League Soccer as long as I have, and I think you know very well the answer to that question. And the answer is, of course there is. I mean, man, we've seen people come back from more than this, you know, make a late run. I mean, things are so tightly packed. And I'm aware that Real Salt Lake is a little bit lower, you know, in the peloton than maybe some of these teams, but so tightly packed, you go on a little bit of run, of a run, and you know, three games, you get 9 points. Heck, look at where San Jose was a couple weeks ago. Now, you know, they're staring at they're kind of down toward the bottom, and they're staring at a tough week where they go on the road at Sporting Kansas City and at DC United, and boom, look at them now. You know, Dallas 3 weeks ago was at the top, and people were talking about supporter shield. They lose three in a row, and they're fighting for a playoff spot. So yeah, it absolutely can happen. Now the key to that, you know, is you got to win. It doesn't just kind of happen for you, especially when San Jose is making this big move right now, and you know, you still kind of look at Houston, and you know, you think if their defense can kind of hold together, and if Will Bruin can score, you know, they can pick up points. So man, it's just tough. And I tell you what's really tough, Trey and Matt, is that, you know, a lot of these teams, if they're in the East, they'd be in the playoffs. I really think that. The East, you know, has DC United and the Red Bulls and New England, if they have Jermaine Jones, and then, you know, Columbus is okay, and a couple other teams, you know, are kind of in and out of it. And I think a lot of these teams that are in the East would make the playoffs. But in answer to your question, yeah, you just got to pick up the points. And with Yao Plata now, you know, back and playing again, then I don't see why I certainly wouldn't eliminate the possibility.
Steve, you've known Jeff Kassar, covered him as a player, as a coach. You've seen him, you know him. What's your take on his personality and how he has kind of handled the adversity that this club has experienced this year?
Well, not only do I know him, I mean, one of the last times I saw Jeff before he took the job at Real Salt Lake, he was jogging in my neighborhood, and I was playing a pickup game, and he stops in the fence and yells at me and walks over and says, I left the game to walk over and say hi to him. So yeah, you know, I'm always, you know, kind of, I mean, I as a professional, I probably shouldn't say this, but you know, we're just people, and I can't help root for the guy. And he's such a sweet fellow that, you know, I want him to succeed. And, you know, I always say that as coaches, you know, everybody has the answers at the press conference. It's not that hard to, you know, to idea and theory your way to success. You know, the problem is what happens in your first big losing spell. What happens when things start unraveling a little bit, when you have your first locker room problem? And to be very honest with you, I'm not there like you guys are, and I don't know how he's, you know, dealing with the day-to-day pressure of it. I just don't feel like I'm educated enough to speak on that, like, you know, especially when you guys, you're asking a question, but you could answer the question better than I could. So all I can really say is that, you know, he's I like the guy, and I hope for good things for him. I look at the organization right now, and I'm not quite sure where it's going. I'm not sure if there's, you know, just to be very honest with you, if there's great leadership at the top, and that makes it harder for a manager, you know, when he doesn't have good direction that way. And I hope that he just kind of stays the course, and, you know, you just have to kind of be true to what you are. And if you start trying to manage the situation, you know, manage your job, then that's when you're really in trouble. It's just about believing yourself, believing the players, and staying the course. And, you know, and then if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, then, you know, you guys can guess as, you know, well as I can what's going to happen.
He wasn't necessarily in your home market, but Craig Weibel's another guy that I'm sure you saw plenty of as a player.
Sure, sure.
What are your impressions of what he's done so far as technical director? And I guess, did you see that coming from a guy who was as hard-nosed a tackler as Craig was?
Craig was a funny guy because
he's always a little bit of a character, too,
as you guys know. And so, you know, when I would visit down, you know, I'd go down to Houston and visit down there, I'd always walk in the locker room and say hi to Dominic. And, you know, the goalkeeper coach was a really nice guy. And Tally Hall, and a few other guys. I mean, Craig was another guy that I would just say hi to because he was just kind of, you never knew what he might say. And I never really, I didn't see him really moving into a front office position. You know, as far as what he's done with the club, I mean, to be honest, there's some moves there that I've liked and some moves that I haven't liked, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's what they always say. You kind of are what you are with your record. And, you know, right now the Weibel and I guess, you know, attached to the Kassar regime. It's the jury's still out, is what I would say. You know, the formation change a year ago and using some different players different ways. Sometimes I look at it and you just say that, you know, one player stepping up and being something that you weren't sure he was going to be changes everything. You look at, like, DC United. DC United, everybody talks about their system and their grinders and all that. And sometimes I look at it and just say, no, it's just Bill Hamid. You know, Bill Hamid is a difference maker. And I look at your team and I say, Javier Morales. I mean, look at that guy. He's you know, how many points has Javier Morales earned for you this year that maybe you didn't see him doing it? What is he, 35 now? Is that is that right? Do I have that right?
Yep.
Yeah, so 35. So you know, you say, you know, you ask me about Weibel and the moves he's made, and sometimes I say, well, yeah, the team's okay, and maybe they're growing into something, and then sometimes I look at it and say, I'm not sure where they're going. It's just that, you know, Javier, they're still a little bit in the playoff race because Javier Morales has pulled some points out when maybe they didn't really even deserve it.
Steve, let's talk about Javi for a second. With his, 46 goals and 74 assists in his MLS career, 204th game was played Saturday night, puts him in the top four all-time in club games played in league play for RSL. 25% of this club's goals all-time have come through his vision and wisdom, which is pretty amazing considering he wasn't here 05, 06, all but maybe six games in 07, and then had that horrific ankle injury in 2011. So that just shows how important he's been. We joke on this show about his reincarnation as Benjamin Button because he literally looks like he gets younger every week. What's your take on what you've seen from him this year?
What I say about guys like Javi who play in a smaller market. No, please don't take that the wrong way. Just some markets are bigger than others. But what I say about him and a guy like, and Kyle Beckerman, and frankly, and Nick Raimondo too, although Beckerman and Raimondo, because they play for the U.S. national team, have been, you know, getting, you know, a little bit more attention. But what I say about those guys is if they were in New York or even Los Angeles or now in Seattle or maybe in Toronto, or if they were, you know, playing for DC back in the day, or even New England back in the day when they were kind of one of the glamour clubs, they were playing for one of those teams. They would have renamed the stadium after them already. You know, we would hear so much more about them. But because, you know, guys like Javier Morales just play in a smaller market, they just don't get the attention. And this isn't just a soccer thing. It's if you play for the Yankees, you get more attention than if you play for the Colorado Rockies, and I just think it's just kind of the way it is, and it's a little bit unfortunate. But you know, if Javi Morales were playing for the Seattle Sounders and putting anything close to those numbers, you know, not just 20,000 people would be singing his praises every week. It'd be 40 and 45,000, and that just echoes louder. It echoes louder around the country, and you get on national TV more, and more people are exposed to really how good a player you are, not just the goals, but what he does in terms of possession and movement in midfield. And so as much as you could say about him, you can never really shout it loud enough from the mountains of Utah for really enough people to hear it for him to get the full praise he deserves. And by the way, and Trey, you know this, I mean, I'm going way back, I've always said the same thing about Kyle Beckerman, you know, and then finally he kind of started getting, I think, the recognition that he deserved, but that was more about the national team, wasn't it?
Steve David's joining us on ESPN 700 On Frame. Steve, we've talked over the years about Dan Kennedy with Chivas USA. There was always kind of that caveat, if only he had a defense in front of him. How would you assess the way Dan has played this year with FC Dallas and really kind of finally having a little more solid of a defense in front of him?
Yeah, you know, it's funny with goalkeepers because there is that side of it that, you know, he was always very good at Chivas USA. And on the other hand, you think about it, with a goalkeeper, I'm not sure that it's not easier to walk out there. On the one hand, it's very hard because, you know, you're going to be facing a lot of shots. But on the other hand, you know, it's pretty easy to walk out there as a goalkeeper. You know, on a day, You need to be good. You have to be good. But there's not a lot of pressure on you because everybody knows the defense in front of you stinks. And, you know, unless you allow just a real howler, nobody's going to blame you. And I think sometimes there's almost more pressure when you go to a team like he has now, and now they're actually challenging through the season for playoff spots, whereas Chivas USA, that's a team that never won a playoff series, got to the playoffs a couple of times, never won a series. So, you know, by mid-year, most of the times they were out of it. They were just somebody you circle on the calendar and said, well, we look to pick up 3 points on that one. So it's always tough to look at a goalkeeper that plays for a poor team and really know what he's about. You know, it's about how you handle the pressure. It's about how you handle the first bad goal that you let in that really costs your team points and maybe some playoff positioning. So all that said, I think Dan has done. I think he's done very well this year. I think Chris Seitz here in Dallas was just as good a shot stopper, probably just as good at dealing with balls in the air. Maybe what he wasn't as good at was he didn't have quite the experience at directing guys in front of him, at communicating with guys in front of him, or providing the right kind of information at the right time. Just maybe being that little bit bigger of a figure back there, and I'm speaking figuratively because Dan Kennedy's not really that big a guy, but right. I think that's what made that's what guided Oscar Pereira to make that decision after about 9 or 10 games to make the switch and put Dan in goal. And since then, I can think of maybe one goal that Dan would look back at and say maybe he could have done a little better. But other than that, he's done fine. He's dealing with a little bit of an injury now. They had Jesse Gonzalez playing last week. So we'll see if Dan Kennedy's even in goal when you guys get here.
How about Atiba Harris? Am I reading right that he's playing outside back for you guys right now?
Yeah, and you asked a while ago about FC Dallas and what's going on. Atiba Harris is playing right back, and the other day Javon Watson was playing in the middle, and Javon Watson has played left back, and Javon Watson has played right back. Well, they're both midfielders, and Zach Lloyd is a right back, but he's been playing inside. And, you know, I think that piecing together that back line has just kind of caught up with Dallas a little bit. And again, tight games, and the West is tight. You can't have a bad moment or two. You know, as a back line, you don't have to be spectacular, but you have to be solid. And when things start happening quickly, these guys like Atiba Harris and Javon Watson, they have midfielders' instincts. They don't have the experience and just that quick reaction instinct that somebody who's been playing center back all his life is going to have, and I think that's kind of what's happened a little bit. Last year they moved Zach Lloyd from right back to the inside, and it worked out great. Zach Lloyd looked like he'd been playing center back all his life. Then they moved Javon Watson from the midfield to the right back, and Javon Watson looked really good there, but then a couple of things happened. They had to move Javon Watson to the inside, and then Zach Lloyd ends up playing even more out of position at left back, and then Atiba Harris is right back. Now you got literally three-quarters of your back line that are really playing out of position. And so, yeah, Atiba on his own has done okay. He doesn't play very cleanly out of the back. I think that's probably his biggest weakness. Javon Watson on his own does okay playing out of position. Not great, but okay. Zach Lloyd playing out of position does okay. Not great. But listen to what I've just done there. Now you got three guys out of four who are okay. They're acceptable. But you got three guys. You got one guy who's acceptable, not great, but acceptable. That's okay. You got three of them that are just acceptable, then you're going to have a breakdown here and there, and that's what's going on right now.
So, Steve, I mean, is that the biggest key for RSL, is to maintain possession, try to put that makeshift back line under pressure? Is that going to be the biggest key for this club to get its second ever victory in Dallas?
I'm not sure, though, it's about maintaining possession. I don't think you necessarily have to maintain possession, Trey. I think it's
We do that to keep the pressure off our back line.
Well, maybe, but it's more about, for instance, the other day, catching Atiba Harris, upfield a little too often.
Yeah.
You know, when he doesn't have that instinct of, they're a right back or left back kind of understands after a while, okay, I can go now, or I have to stay now, and a couple of times he gets caught upfield, and like I said, he's not very clean with his passing. So if he's upfield and he misses a pass, he's out of position. So I think it's more than keeping possession. I think it's recognizing the moments when they're vulnerable and going. And that's what teams have been doing. You know, that's how Vancouver is so good at anyway. That's what LA is so good at anyway. And those are the teams that just beat them. They recognize, look, they're vulnerable right now. They're a little out of shape right now. And they go, and there's a goal. And, man, I mean, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. It's going to – the whole Western race, you know, from top to – you know, from places 1 through 8, who finishes playoffs in the playoffs, who finishes out, who finishes in those top two positions. It's going to come down to a few goals. So you just you have to be clean the whole way through. So it's not about keeping possession. It's just about finding the vulnerable moments, whether that's on the break or, you know, as you do keep possession and work the ball around a little bit.
Is Fabian Castillo kind of rounding back into that early season, just that torrid form he was in, and how worried? I mean, RSL is always worried going into Dallas games about specifically him, but it looks like in Victor Ulloa and some of the other young guys that have really come around the last couple years, he's got some support there on the counter.
Yeah, the answer to your question is no. He's not rounding into shape. There was a moment in the broadcast the other day when I thought maybe I'd missed something. I thought maybe I literally had to look and make sure Fabio Castillo was still on the field. I thought maybe did he get subbed out, and I missed it. I realized I hadn't said his name in 12 or 14 minutes, and I for whatever reason, he's still a pretty young guy. You know, he's 23, and you know, for whatever reason, they're just. Over the course of a couple of years, I've seen it where he just loses confidence, and he just doesn't quite seem as sure about taking on guys. And with Castillo, every team, you know, pretty much operates the same way. The first guy just delays as much as possible until they can get second and third guy over. I'm sure that's what I do. Well, the key for Castillo is always that the team finds him in the one-on-one situations and that he immediately exploits those situations. But that's all about confidence. That's all about, you know, sometimes your first touch, you just touch it by and go. Or you know, you take your first touch and then you go. You go right at him. Well, if you're not confident and that guy can hold you up long enough until a second guy gets over, third guy gets over. The other day it was Gershon Kofi. They just, first guy would just back off him 5 yards. Gershon Kofi would hustle over, and he's a young guy and he's got a lot of legs and he can do that. He hustles over. Now he's the immediate pressure, and the defender behind is, you know, kind of waiting on, you know, one's baiting and one's waiting, and then they get the third guy over for balance, and that's it. And then Castillo still tries to dribble, and he loses the ball. So right now he's honestly not very good, and it's I'm going to tell you, you know, Dallas is vulnerable right now. It's not going to shock me to see RSL come in here and pick up points.
Steve, I'm going to leave you on that note just so RSL fans can feel positive going into this weekend. Thanks so much
for
your time.
Well done, sir. Well played.
Thanks for your time tonight, Steve-O.
We'll see you guys down here in Texas. Bring your shirts, short sleeve shirts.